Welcome to Season 2, Episode 3 of the Student Alumni Council Podcast. Today I'm joined by Paul Schmidt. Paul is an OSU and SAC alum and is currently in his clinical year at Marquette NPA School. To start out, Paul, can you tell a little bit about what a physician's assistant does and how they work alongside physicians?
Yeah, totally. First of all, thanks for having me on the podcast. I look fondly back on my time at Ohio State and SAC, so glad to still have a connection here. And then to answer your question, PAs are medical providers that have the autonomy to see patients on their own, diagnose medical conditions, come up with treatment plans, prescribe medications, make referrals to various specialties, and then depending on the area of practice, performing procedures or assisting in surgeries. And when it comes to the relationship with physicians, it really depends on what specialty they're in. So for example, primary care, a lot of times when you go on your MyChart or you call the office to make an appointment, you might see the doctor, you might see the PA, or you might see the NP. And all of them virtually will do the same thing for you in an outpatient setting. You might just see the PA, and then you don't see the doctor at all for your visit. You get your prescriptions, you get your treatment plan, and you get your follow-up visit. When it comes to the hospital, for example, if you're working in a specialty service like cardiology or gastroenterology or nephrology, you might get a consult. So they send over patient information to you and they're like, hey, this person has a heart problem. We need the heart people to go see them. A lot of the times, the first person that goes and sees that patient is a PA. They're able to get a whole history on the patient, get some nice FaceTime in with them, and really tell the patient what they think the plan is going to be from there. They can put some orders into the computer, get some medication started, and then go on and see the rest of their patients. This is great because a lot of times doctors are so busy, one, doing procedures, going to other hospitals because they're needed, or countless other things. So PAs are able to get a lot of time in with patients. Patients are able to talk to medical providers, know that they're being heard. And then when it comes to like later in the afternoon, if the doc comes back to the hospital, like the cardiology doc, the cardiologist, and it's like, hey, what's going on with these patients? The PAs can be, they can rattle off, boom, 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 this is the situation. And then the doc can say, yeah, I agree. And then he might see the patients for a couple minutes, but it's really the PAs that are able to get a lot of time in with them. And then when it comes to, like, if you work in a surgical specialty, a lot of PAs will run pre-op appointments or follow-up appointments after the surgery. Or, you know, if you're a surgical PA in the hospital, you might do a similar consulting to what I was talking about previously. And then when you're in the operating room, PAs are right there with the surgeon. And a lot of times they'll do, you know, first incisions, they'll have their hands in there with the surgeon. I like to say it's like if the surgeon had four arms, that would be what you have when you have a surgeon and a PA in there. And then a lot of times the PAs will, you know, close up incisions and all that good stuff. So it really depends on the specialty, what the relationship is between doctors and PAs. In more progressive states, PAs have more autonomy and the relationship is collaborative. And then in some more restrictive states, they talk about the doc being the supervisor. And then it's very much like you need to have the doc sign off on everything you do. So a lot of the times it depends on the state, but things are growing every year and PAs are getting more autonomy just so that patients are able to get more time in with medical providers. And there's honestly a shortage of actual physicians. And then when it comes to education, because at the end of the day, doctors are extremely highly trained. They had 4 years of medical school plus a residency that can be anywhere from, 1 to 3 or 4 years. And a lot of the times they do a fellowship after that. So doctors are the experts. Everybody knows that. They've been trained to do that for, a decade and then plus however long they've practiced. And everybody has the right to care by a physician if they want it. And the great thing is that you can see a PA who's working with a doc, and then the doc can decide whether, this person needs to be seen by them, seen by a different specialty. And so then PAs, generally PA school is between 2 and 3 years after you get your undergrad degree. It's a 1 year of what they call didactic, which is just classroom lectures, exams, and then it's about 1 year of clinicals. So you're out there at the primary care clinic, in the hospital, in the ER, in the surgery, doing all the fun things. And then you graduate. And then most of the time, you don't have to go to a fellowship or a residency unless you really want to. And then you can get a job wherever you want. And then finally, when a PA graduates their PA program, it's with a master's degree. So they'll have a master's of physician assistant studies.
So, what initially drew you to pursue PA school, and what was it like being a pre-professional student at OSU?
So I was always, sort of interested in science, medicine, that sort of thing, but I never really knew what I wanted to do with it. I thought briefly about medical school, but I was like, this is way too long. I don't want to wait that long for to get out there, and I knew I wanted to help people, and so I heard about the PA profession, and I was thinking about that. I had some interactions with PAs in the medical field, and it sounded like a great work-life balance, length of school and the salary, felt like a right choice. And then I started shadowing and had some great experiences there. And it just kind of fit. And then being a pre-PA student at Ohio State, obviously it's really stressful. You have to balance getting good grades with getting enough volunteer hours and getting healthcare experience so that you can talk about these things on your at your interviews and on your applications. So it was really hard. And especially at Ohio State. So if the people listening don't know, Ohio State doesn't have a PA program. So they, in general, they can set up like pre-med, pre-vet, pre-dental students on a track to apply to their various graduate programs. So it's a way you can kind of like groom undergrads. And so since Mark or not Marquette, I was going to say Marquette, since Ohio State doesn't have a PA program, you kind of have to figure stuff out on your own. And that's when you have to find people that have done it before you, talk to people that have done it before you at different schools. And so, in a way, you're kind of thrown into it, and you just have to figure things out. And so, I didn't really know what I was doing for the first year and a half of undergrad. I didn't really get serious about it until sophomore year, and then it was COVID, and then everything that came with that. So I don't know. It was crazy, but I feel like I found a good balance. Some people drive themselves up a wall, trying to, get the hours and, oh, I need to get 640 hours or else I'm not going to get in somewhere. But it's really not like that. You kind of just need to get yourself out there, get involved, and, just put effort into one or two things that you really care about, and then everything will work out. And then obviously study hard in the classroom. But a lot of it was, having to figure it out on your own because they don't really, groom you for PA school at Ohio State.
So that definitely took a lot of problem solving to do to figure that out. But how did some of your time at Ohio State prepare you for the challenges of PA school and moving into your future career?
Yeah, I would say the size of Ohio State was the biggest thing. Not that my PA program is, you know, the size of Ohio State. There's 74 of us, but I feel like, so since I'm from Michigan and then I came to Ohio State, didn't know anybody here. So did the whole thing, meeting new people in undergrad and having to find your new group and branch out and learn new things. I feel like because Ohio State's so big and it has all of its diversity and everything that you have to offer, you're able to see so much and hear from people all around the country, all around the world, from different backgrounds. And I feel like that's one of the most important things when it comes to being a medical provider is, you know, having an appreciation for every patient you have and taking the time to listen to them and have some sort of understanding of their story, whether you were in that position or not. A lot of the times you can't understand because you can't put yourself in there, but you can appreciate and you can tell them, you know, that must be very hard. I can't imagine what you're going through. And I feel like going to Ohio State, I was able to get out of my comfort zone and really learn about the world around me. I feel like I was in a vacuum before coming to Ohio State. And I feel like that is what helped me the most before getting to PA school. Obviously, classes were hard. I was really busy and that prepared me. But I think the biggest thing was how much Ohio State has to offer and then just being more comfortable with the world around me before going to this next step that's, you know, important and you have to be there for patients.
Yeah, definitely. So you talked about how you had to walk yourself through the pre-PA process because Ohio State doesn't really have or doesn't have a program to like mold you to go into next. Can you walk us through the steps you took and the challenges you faced preparing for PA school and then what the application process was like and how you made yourself a strong candidate?
Yeah, definitely. So just overall, I started my PA program 20 days after graduation. So I started back May 28th of 2023. And so if you want to start PA school, either after graduation or that fall after graduation, you have to apply the summer before your senior year. So the clock was kind of ticking for me, especially because I didn't have my stuff together freshman year. So then sophomore year came, it was COVID. And I was thinking, if I'm going to apply after my junior year, I really need to get this thing going. So pretty much there's three big things you need to worry about when it comes to applying to PA school. It's having healthcare experience, getting the grades you need and the prereqs, and then getting good shadowing. And so the biggest struggle for me was finding shadowing, especially at that time in the world. Everything's shut down. People don't want any more people than they need in various facilities and practices. I got really lucky because, you know, I had a family friend who knew a PA and was more than happy to take me with him. And so it kind of just worked out based on who you know. And so I got my shadowing with him. And then the big thing about PA school is all the different schools have different prerequisites. So it's not like you can just slap a bio major on and then apply to a bunch of different places. You kind of have to create a document like, these are the, you know, the 10 PA schools that I want to apply to, and here are all their prerequisites. You know, if one of them requires a class that all the other ones don't, you have to decide, okay, is it worth it to take on an extra course this semester just to apply to one school that you may or may not get an interview in? So I kind of just had a document, it had everything lined up, all the different prereqs, and then I figured out, you know, what classes overlap. I had to do a lot of emailing with various schools, like, hey, does this class at Ohio State count for your prerequisites? So it's a lot of work on your back end, and you have to be somebody that is intrinsically motivated and will advocate for yourself, because like I said, like, you have your advisor at Ohio State, but they don't really know what it's like applying to PA school. And then I got my job. So, because everybody has to have paid patient care experience, and I got a job at the WEX, the Wexner Medical Center. I was just a patient care associate on a general medical surgical floor. And so I did a lot of caring for patients' daily needs. So getting their vital signs every 4 hours at least, making sure they all ate, making sure they're clean, because we had a various arrange. Some of the patients were walking around and some of the patients were bedbound, and you had to care for them and make sure that, you know, they went to the bathroom and all of that stuff. And so there was a lot to learn at that experience. And I think it's really important for people to work with, you know, individuals that are going through an illness like that. In my interviews, they said, we didn't really care that you had X amount of hours. We just want to see that you got hours and you want to take care of, you know, sick human beings. So for anybody out there that's stressing about their patient care hours, yes, you need to meet the minimum hours requirements at the various schools. But once you meet the minimum, I wouldn't worry too much after that. And then there were just some other little things, like some of the schools required the GRE. So I had to take the GRE like April of my junior year, studied for a couple weeks for that. And then, you know, like everything, you want to get involved on campus. So I had really one big commitment, and that was SAC, which I absolutely loved. I got into that thanks to my roommate, sophomore year, Josh. And then I just ran with it. So I was the program coordinator for Pay It Forward my junior year. And then I was vice president of student engagement my senior year, which was, you know, one of the best choices I ever made. And so really pouring yourself into one or two commitments is what's going to stand out. Because then you have so much more to talk about when it comes to your applications and your interviews. You actually have stories when they ask, you know, give us an example of, you know, a leadership experience or a time you had to compromise with somebody or a time you disagreed. Like if you're just going to do a million different things, volunteer at a bunch of different organizations, like every night of the week, then you might not have those in-depth and, you know, real personal experiences. So I mostly did SAC. I was also a part of the FBPA, which is Future Buckeye Physician Assistants, at Ohio State, and then just did other various small volunteering. But most of my stuff was through SAC. I didn't like keep track of specific number of volunteering hours because they don't ask that when it comes to the application. Everybody thinks they ask that. They just ask, how many hours a week did you spend on this experience? And so, and then obviously I was balancing all the classes, right? So you have to, your health pre-healthcare. I was a health sciences major, so I had to get the all the prereqs for that and then apply to the major. And if you had a certain GPA, you automatically got in. And so it was balancing that and then the prereqs for PA school, because some of them overlapped and some of them didn't. So I was taking 18 credits my senior year, both semesters. So we got it done, but, you know, it was busy. And so back to the actual application part, it generally opens April. So if you wanted to start right after graduation, you have to apply the summer before senior year. So it opens at the end of April. And so then you're working on your applications. I submitted all of mine by July, the first week of July. People get really stressed out because it's rolling admissions, but it worked out fine for me. And then generally over the next couple months, you start getting emails back, whether you get an interview or not. And so then you do your interviews that August and then into the fall of your senior year. So there were a couple of days where, you know, I had to miss class to go to an interview. And so, and then they let you know, some let you know really quick, some let you know a couple months later. So it's a busy time for sure. But the biggest thing with anything is staying organized, especially for PA school, because you kind of have to figure things out on your own and map it out on your own, because nobody's going to hold your hand through it. But we got it done.
Yeah. All right. So moving out of Ohio State and into PA school, Once you were accepted, what was the transition like from undergrad to PA school? Or could you describe a typical day in the life of a PA student?
Yeah, totally. I feel like mine was not traditional. Most people in my class had at least one gap year where, they worked on their application. They applied to PA school after they graduated, and then they worked at various healthcare jobs, traveled, enjoyed their lives. Whereas, I started 20 days after graduation. So that summer I saw, everybody going on trips and everything, and I was in class 8 to 5 and then studying until 10:30 at night. So it's definitely a grind, especially starting right after your senior year when you might not have been the most focused person in the world. But I know some programs are different, but the way my program works is we're in class 8 to 5 every day. Some days it's earlier, some days it's later. Sometimes we finish early, but in general, you expect to be in class then. And then I was able to take a little bit of a break for dinner, for an hour, maybe two. It really depends. And then, I was studying until 10:30 every night. And then weekends, I tried to take Fridays off unless we had an exam on Monday. And then, Saturday and Sunday, I would study anywhere from like 4 or 5 hours to 12 hours on each of those days. So it's crazy. But it really just depends on the exam schedule. Since we just finished our didactic classroom portion, someone was asking how many exams did we actually have? And so then someone counted, and it was 57 since the last June. So it's a little more than one a week. And it ends up being more like an off week and then two or three the next week. So, because they need time to balance it. And that's not even counting like our quizzes and graded patient encounters. So, PA school is a grind. I was kind of scared straight before it, so I knew what to expect. Some of my classmates were like, oh, shoot, this is not what I knew it would be. And so then it was a little bit of a catch-up game. But it's crazy. And you just need to have a plan. I thought that I was going to have no life in PA school. That's what everybody told me. You're going to have no life. You are going to hate yourself, and you're going to just count down the days until it's over. Well, I counted down the days until it's over. I didn't hate myself, and I was still able to take Fridays off. And like I was telling my friends back home, I was like, hey, if you don't hear from me, it's not because I don't like you anymore. It's just because I'm really busy. But it was blown out of proportion. Like I was still able to check my phone at lunch and text my friends and do fantasy football and all this stuff. So you don't have to pause everything in your life. Like, yeah, it's busy, and a lot of the times you don't have time to, call a friend, or you can't do that fun thing on the weekend because you have an exam on Monday. But it's 1 year in the classroom, and then it's 1 year in clinicals. So it's a sacrifice that, you can make to, set yourself up well and have a great career. But, it is crazy, and you need to know what you're getting yourself into. But it flies when you're wishing you had more time in the day to study, and then it's like, oh shoot, 10:30, that was my personal rule. Oh, 10:30, I have to stop studying. Need to prioritize sleep. I got what I got done. And then we'll just pick it up tomorrow. And I feel like when you're wishing that there's more time, it makes everything go by so fast. It feels like a blur since the start of PA school. But here we are.
So you mentioned a lot about planning out when you're in undergrad and then planning how you're gonna attack PA school. How did you end up balancing and planning how to balance your academic demands of PA school while maintaining a somewhat healthy work slash life balance?
Yeah, no, it's hard. It's hard. And that question will get answered 1,000 different ways if you ask 1,000 different people. I made myself rules. So this is what a couple of my other friends did. I was like, I'm not studying on Fridays unless there's a Monday exam and I can't afford it. So lot of the time in the summer, and then in the fall we had our exams were mostly Wednesdays or Fridays. So I was able to get away with that, and it was great. I was like, Friday nights, no studying, no matter what. We'd go, you know, I'd go bowling with some of my guy friends after class, or, you know, people would go out to, you know, somewhere in the city. But, you know, then the spring came and we had some Monday exams, same with the summer. And it was kind of like, you have to modify everything. But, you know, I tried to take Friday nights off, and Saturday nights sometimes were possible as well. Because at that point, if you studied 8 hours on Saturday already, you're probably pretty burnt. And then, like I was talking about a little bit earlier, I told myself, I was like, I'm never going to study after 10:30. And if it works out, it works out. And if it doesn't, then maybe we'll change some things. But that's kind of what I started with, and it worked out, and I didn't need to cram late at night. And so sticking to that, because it's so important to mentally reset after a long week. Like when you're in class all day and then you got to study all night, Friday comes, the last thing you want to do is just stay in and not, and just keep studying, because then you're not refreshed for that grind of a weekend you have. So it's all about taking those little breaks. Throughout the school day, it can get really tiring. You know, anybody that works an 8-to-5 job is, you know, it's a little bit of a drag. And so sitting in class would be no different for that long. But we, you know, class breaks and all that good stuff. We played, you know, we played soccer in the courtyard. We found just little things to do. And so everybody's kind of in the same boat. So if you have like a couple people that are making little plans, just saying yes to that, it's going to be okay. Like everyone's like, I promise, like taking 2 hours on, you know, this night is not going to be the difference between you passing and failing an exam next week. Like, I know it can seem really tough now, but you know, you just have to give yourself grace. And I feel like the first semester is really about figuring out that routine. And so just like saying yes and, you know, structuring in break time, which for me was Friday nights, sometimes Saturday nights. And then I wouldn't go to bed right at 10:30. Like I'd stop studying at 10:30, but then you need time to decompress and everything. So you really, because your schedule is so crazy, you have to schedule in these break times, or else you're not going to last. You're not going to last the whole 15 months of didactic year.
So it definitely sounds like it was a grind, but you found ways to handle it and kind of enjoy it. Is there like any part of you that says, I really wish I took a gap year?
No. I don't. I wish I had a little more money right now. And I think if I took a gap year and I worked for that year, I wouldn't be thinking that. But, you know, it's just a year earlier that I'm going to like have my actual job. And so I don't really have any regrets. At the start, when I was just in class 3 weeks after celebrating graduation and all my friends were, you know, going on trips, people in Europe, people in California, people doing all these fun things. It was hard for sure. But it was just kind of like, you know, it's going to be worth it. You just have to trust the process. And like thinking now, the younger class at Marquette just started their program 3 months ago. And I'm like, oh my God, that could have been me. And I would still have that whole year. It's like, yeah, it really stunk a lot of the time, but it went by fast. And now that I've made it to the clinical year, I'm so happy that I didn't take a gap year. A lot of people are afraid of, you know, not getting in the first time. They're like, oh, I don't have enough hours. Like, I don't know if I'm going to get in. I should just take a gap year. And I thought the same thing. Like I had probably 550 patient care hours by the time that I applied, which if you ask any pre-PA student, there's going to be like, wow, that's like not at all. It's like, well, yes, that's true. I only applied to schools that required, you know, 200, 250, 500 hours. And, you know, the minimum is there for a reason. Like, if they weren't going to let somebody in that didn't have 1,000, then why would they make their hours requirement 500 and not 1,000? So I trusted the rest of my application, and, you know, it ended up working out. I got a ton of interviews, and I would recommend anybody that's, you know, thinking about just applying right away to do it, just because it's a year earlier that you're going to be making the PA salary, which it, will be better than whatever your gap year is. And, you know, it is nice to travel and decompress before PA school. And some people need that. So if that's you, definitely do that. But it was nice to just bang it out, get it done. And so if you can take the shot, like if you're able to afford that, because it does cost money to apply and you have the requirements, don't delay applying just because you want to make it even better, because every year is different and you never know like when you're going to get an interview call. So I would just take the shot. That's what my dad encouraged me to do. And, you know, it worked out. But
I got to admit, I don't understand the differences really between the different schools. Can you explain the difference between PA school versus medical school versus any of the other like medicine type schools?
Yeah. So I feel like there's kind of the three that they ask about in interviews. They want to make sure that you're familiar with it's PA school, med school, and then nurse practitioner school. So in general, the PA profession and the PA school is modeled after medical school. So medical school is generally 4 years, and the first 2 years are classroom work, and then the second 2 years are clinical work. And so when they designed PA school, they were like, we need to fit the most important things in the 2 years of classroom in medical school into 12 or 15 months in PA school. And so that's kind of how they modeled it. And then they're like, and then we're going to do 1 year of clinicals in PA school. So PA school is really just a condensed medical school, whereas nurse practitioners all have a nursing degree, and then they go to nurse practitioner school. So the nurse practitioner and the PA do pretty much the same job when it comes out into the real world. A lot of job postings are like, we're hiring either an NP or a PA for this, like everyone's applying. So it's more the training that goes into it, because nurse practitioners are trained through a nursing model and then learn medicine through that, whereas a PA is just based on like a condensed medical school. And so when you're talking about PA versus medical school, obviously medical school spends more time on these topics. In general, the first summer they have, you know, off, like, but they might have, you know, internships or shadowing or anything like that, but they have, you know, the full year of class, and then they have a whole second year. And then so it's probably about, you know, 21, 24 months of instruction. And then ours was 15 months. So they had to fit the take home points in a 2 year medical school curriculum into a 15 month PA school curriculum. And so we obviously didn't spend as much time on various topics as they do in medical school. But you learn all the same big things. You don't go in as depth or as deep. And so the exams are at a higher rate. So like I was saying earlier, we had 57 exams in 15 months minus our month long Christmas break. So it really comes fast, and you're learning, you know, two or three different body systems at the same time, and then you're going to have an exam on each of them, a lot, two or three in 1 week. And so they're more spaced out in medical school, just because they go in a little bit more detail, and they flesh things out more. And so because of that, the exams are less frequent, but, you know, you are responsible for a little bit more information. So they're very similar when it comes to PA and medical school. And then just like the big thing is they have that second clinical year, and then everybody in medical school goes to a residency afterwards, which is anywhere from, you know, 1 to 4 years. But, you know, they do have their MD after they graduate their 4 year school. So Yeah, that's kind of just the abridged version. And then, because like those are three professions that do very similar things, you know, they all treat, diagnose, order tests, prescribe medications, all that stuff. And so when you're applying to school, it's important to understand those differences and know what you're getting yourself into, because the people interviewing you are going to ask those same questions. And you don't want to sound dumb, because then it's like, well, how do you even know you're supposed to be here if you can't explain the difference? But
Would you have any advice for anyone who's deciding between the three on how to figure out which one they want to do?
the biggest thing is shadowing. Like I've always been of the opinion that you're not gonna know, like you won't know what you want to do until you see it. So I don't know how someone could make a decision between, you know, PA versus physician versus NP without shadowing. At least like if you wanted to be a PA, shadow a PA if you like it, yes. If you're undecided, shot like try to see get in with one of each and then pick their brain a little bit. Especially because you're about to take out either a massive student loan or write a giant check for whatever school you choose. And so you'd be doing yourself, your family, whatever, a disservice if you don't totally, you know, figure out that this is for you, right? There's not like a perfect thing. Like, if you're this type of person, then you should do this. If you're this type of person, you should do that. Then you just have to go out there and see it. And especially like on campus, like, if you, there's so many great things, especially at Ohio State, to learn about different professions. Like, I was part of the pre, like, FBPA, which is basically our pre-PA club. And then there's so many, you know, medical school associations. I'm assuming there's one for future nurse practitioners. I don't know. But like, you just have to surround yourself with people that are doing, that want to do the same thing or, you know, have done that thing. I think that's really important. That's something that, you know, I was taught early. My dad made me read this book called The Proximity Principle. And it was, I think it was by Ken Coleman. And it was basically like, if you don't know what you want to do in life, you have to go out there and you have to find somebody that's doing it, or you have to find people that are close to the people that are doing it, because then you're not going to know what it's like unless you get out there and you get yourself close to where the action is. Because, and then you never know what's going to happen, because once you put yourself out there, then people recognize you, and then, you know, things just go from there. So my big thing would just be, you have to get out there and you have to talk to people that are doing it. You have to talk to people that are applying to do it, because there's no one size fits all. Like, a certain type of person shouldn't be a PA versus a doctor. It's all just what personally fits for your life and what you want to do. So that's what
I
I would
really
say.
like that advice. And I think even if you already know what you want, that's great advice to just say, go and look firsthand at how that profession operates. So you do for sure know that that's what you want to do. Do you have any other advice for current pre-health students or current pre-PA students considering a PA career?
I think I talked about this a little bit earlier, and I'll just say it again. Like, pick one or like pick two, maybe three things in your undergrad career that you really want to dedicate yourself to. Like, I see people that, you know, they're in three different volunteering organizations, they're in a leadership position, they're working two different jobs, and it's, you know, yeah, those things are all great, and it shows that you can balance a crazy schedule and you're gonna be okay when PA school gets crazy. But you need to really have a personal and more deep dedication to one or two things so that you have more to talk about, especially when it comes to your applications. And, you know, when they ask you those tough questions in an interview, it's it's more worth it when you feel like you're actually caring about what you're talking about, because they can tell, instead of just saying like, on Tuesday nights I would do this, and Wednesday nights I would do this, and then Thursday and Friday I would do this, and then I'd work on Friday and Saturday here, and blah 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 blah. Where it's like, no, I have, you know, for me it was, you have one, like I had, we had our SAC meetings every Thursday, and then we would have our exec meetings on Mondays, and then we would have at least one or two other meetings, and then there'd be a social event. And so when you have something like that, you can talk passionately about it, and that's what they want to see in an interview, is, you know, passion for something. And that's my biggest thing. Get involved. That's the most important thing, is get involved. You're never gonna be successful unless you get out of your shell. Like freshman year, I was, you know, sort of joint, like looking into things, doing various clubs, like whatever, but not seriously. It wasn't till sophomore year when some of my other buddies were applying for SAC, and I was encouraged to do so as well. So it wasn't until that I really, you know, put myself out there and got involved on campus. And like, that's where the difference is. It's like, it's free to get involved. Like some of them you end up having to pay dues or whatever, but like, you're already paying all of this money for Ohio State. You need to take advantage of it, or whatever school you're going to. Like, you need to take advantage of that money, and you need to join. You need to meet new people and broaden your perspective, because then, like, then you just have way more to talk about. You have more life experience. You never know who knows somebody, because the more people you meet, then it's like, oh yeah, my mom is a PA. My mom's friend is a PA. Then you can, like, it's so hard to get out of that bubble if you just stick to yourself and you're like, I need to get a 4.0, or else I'm not going to get into PA school, or else I'm not going to get into whatever school. It's like, you're going to be fine. You know, you can sacrifice a couple points on your GPA if you have meaningful experience to talk about. They're not going to sit down. Like, if they give you an interview, it's because they think you're good enough. And then you have to show your personality, and you're not going to sit there and talk about why you got a 4.0 instead of a 3.8. It's like, no, you need to talk about some like meaningful personal experiences. So just getting out there, getting involved, joining SAC was the best thing I ever did in undergrad. And I 100% believe that it was a major contributor into getting into PA school. So, you know, thank you to my roommate Josh for getting me to join. But you can find that anywhere. It doesn't have to be SAC, obviously. Everybody finds their community somewhere. And I think that's just the most important thing.
You've talked a little bit about the planning aspect of pre-PA and PA and how that's important. Are there other characteristics after being in class for these 15 months and being around all these PA students, other characteristics you see that leads to being a successful PA student?
I would say being a team player, like that goes without saying, I feel like, but I still need to say it. I do all of my studying, or I should say 80 to 90% of my studying with my friends. You know, we divide up the lectures, create a study guide based on it, and then teach it back to each other, and then quiz each other just until the exam. And so that's worked for me. A lot of people just study on their own, but especially because healthcare is a team effort, being a team player is really important. If you're somebody that sticks to yourself and gets annoyed if you have to do something with other people, you know, then you might want to re-examine some things. And so I feel like just cultivating more of a team-based mentality is really important. And then just like, it kind of sucks to say, but you just need to have grit. Like PA school is hard. And if you don't have what it takes, like if you don't have what it takes, then, you know, it is sink or swim. There's, you know, people drop out and everything. But if you're somebody that can put the work in and just say to yourself, okay, I'm here, I need to grind for these next 2 years. That's just what it is, and it's going to be worth it, and I'll never have to go back to school again, and I'm going to do what I want. You can kind of if you can just put your head down and get the work done and you're somebody like that, I think that goes so much. That goes so far. Because if things start happening and then you start getting in a spiral, you start complaining about things, and it can be really hard to motivate yourself. But I think if you're somebody that is just like, well, this is it, I got to get it done, I don't really have any choice. And that's easier said than done. Like, it's really hard. And some days are harder than others. Like getting up on a Saturday to study is after a long week that you had two exam. Like if you had an exam that week, it's really hard. But like you're there for a reason, and the responsibility of the profession requires that sort of dedication in school. And so you just need to have that mentality when you get there. But then also at the same time, it's kind of contradictory, but not taking things too seriously and like being okay if you don't get an A. So most students in PA school were extremely good students in undergrad. They were getting A's. They were getting mad if they didn't get A's, and they had these expectations. But the way that PA school works, at least at my school, is passing grade is a 70. If you get a 70 on exam, you don't have to retake it. They might meet with you if you're two standard deviations below the class average, but you don't have to be getting A's in PA school to be successful. Nobody cares what your GPA is. My resume does not have my PA school GPA on it. I don't even know what my GPA is in PA school, to be quite honest with you. And so once you graduate and you pass your board exam, you pass the pants, and it says PA-C after your name, like nobody cares what you got in PA school. So you're going to, like, once you get there, you're going to drive yourself crazy if you're like, I need to get a 90 on this instead of an 85. Like, nope. If you do your best and you're not barely scraping by, you're going to be okay. And nobody's going to ask you at your job, did you get an A in, like, on your cardiology exam, or did you get a B? Like, what was it about? So you have to have the grit to get the work done, because it takes hard work just to even, get a B, but you have to be okay when it's not what you got in undergrad, because that's a big adjustment that a lot of people have to make. So yeah, that's what I would say.
So now that you've been around the PA school and PA profession a little bit, how do you see the world changing over the next decade or next few years, even, especially with the advancements in healthcare technology that we're seeing?
I think so. For me, the big thing is every year in every state, so the states kind of control what the PA scope of practice is. Wisconsin just passed a law called Act 23, which broadens the scope of practice even more, and every year it's becoming more and more beneficial for the PA profession, because we have such a lack, we have such a shortage of medical providers, shortage of physicians, just because, people aren't wanting to go into all of this debt, take all this time out of their lives to go to school. And as you can really see this in primary care, because, for example, a primary care doctor might only make, like I say only, but like they might make, $200,000 to $250,000 a year. Whereas, if you're a cardiologist, you could make $400,000 to $500,000. If you go to become a surgeon, you can make like $1 million. So the incentives in primary care for physicians are not there right now. And that's a spot that PAs can really thrive, is working in primary care. And a lot of people don't want to do that because they think, oh, surgery is so cool, I want to work in surgery. ER, fast paced, I want to do ER. Everything is needed. Primary care is really needed. And I think a lot of PAs are going to be going to primary care just because you have such autonomy in primary care. You have your own patient lists. Yeah, of course, you have the collaborating physician that you can bounce things off of, but you can really make a difference in primary care. I feel like, I'm not saying I'm doing primary care, it's definitely on my list, but We had a great lifestyle medicine talk from a guest speaker, and he was talking about we have so many. He was like, picture our world right now. It's, we have so much heart disease and diabetes and obesity and all of these things that contribute to various disease states. And he was like, we have this faucet on and it's just overflowing the sink and it's all over the floor. And we have a lot of good mops. He's like, we have all these treatments. We have, high blood pressure medication. We have, bariatric surgery. We have insulin and all these things are extremely effective for healthcare conditions that arise down the line, but we haven't found a way to, shut the faucet off and get people to make lifestyle changes that really get to the root of the problem. And I feel like, and he was saying, he's like, this is where primary care can be. Like, you can take the time and you can really make a difference in patients' lives from the start. And I feel like the PA profession has a lot of room to grow there. And that was his name was Dr. Javier that did our talk. He works in Chicago at Advocate Aurora. And when it comes to growing healthcare technology, and we hear so much about AI right now, right? So I was talking to our speaker, Dr. Javier, about this and just about primary care in general. And he was talking, he goes, a lot of people don't want to do primary care because, you spend all this time writing notes and running through patient charts and everything. And because it's got to be way more fleshed out in primary care visits than, a brief surgical post-op note, or like in the ER, you're like, ER, someone comes in, we need to make sure they're alive, we need to make sure they're stable, and then we send them on their way. Primary care, it's like, we need to look at this person holistically. And so it takes a long time to write these notes. But what he was saying, he goes, with AI now, they have, you can just set your phone down and it'll write the note for you. You have a patient visit, you just completely focused on them and making a difference for them. And then you look over a brief abridged note written by the AI, and he goes, this is really making a difference in a lot of fields, is saving time. And then when you save time, you can see more patients. So a lot of people are worried about like AI taking jobs and all of that stuff. It's really going to help the healthcare community or the healthcare industry to save time, because at the end of the day, because we have such a shortage, we can't spend as much time with patients as we want. And any way to save time is great, because nobody wants to stay 2 hours after work to comb through patient charts. But when you have something like this, it can really make a difference. And then, who knows what else happens in the future with technology. But
Then looking back at your path from even before school to then going to Ohio State and being PPA all the way to now, you finished your classroom time in PA school. Is there anything you really wish you had done differently on that path?
I don't really have any regrets. Just because like I'm here now, and if I did anything else, maybe I wouldn't be. I wish I got more involved earlier in my college career, especially my freshman year. Which I talked about earlier. I just wish I went for it completely at the start instead of, kind of wasting a year my freshman year. I would just encourage everybody to get involved as soon as possible. But like, I don't really have any regrets. I wish I saw a little bit more shadow. Like, I wish I did a little more shadowing before PA school, because I just really had one big shadowing experience with a PA who traveled to various assisted living centers and served as their primary care doctor. But I wish I did more. Like, I wish I made a bigger effort and tried to get in with, different surgical PAs or go into the ER and everything, because when my rotations start, I wish I had a little, like at least some sort of exposure for that. But any shadowing is good shadowing, and you can't really get picky about it. But yeah, I don't really have any, big things that I was like, oh, I did this and it really messed me up. So yeah, not
Good.
really.
All right, and last question is, looking forward, what excites you most about the future of your PA career?
Yeah, for sure. First and foremost, I'm so excited to start my clinical rotations, and just get out there and really see everything that I've been learning about over the last year. And then just in general, I feel like the flexibility of the PA job is something that's really exciting to me. If you know, I could always, the great thing about it is if you have like not as much personal responsibility right when you graduate, like you can work however many hours you want, you can make, you know, make a bunch of money, and then you know, down the line, if you have a family, you can adjust your job for that. You can go to a different specialty. You can work something that fits more in your schedule. And that's something that's really intriguing to me. And even if you get like, if you get burnt out of specialty, you can then switch. And that's something I'm really excited about, is to have the flexibility. And then just in general, now that I'm, you know, over halfway through, have learned a ton of the medicine, about to start clinical year, it's just like really setting in how special it is to, you know, have the knowledge to that could like save someone's life. Like right? That's really like it's really a feeling that you can't really describe. Like, and not even save their life, just make a change in their life that will benefit them forever. Like having that tool in your toolbox, and then also being like having the privilege to implement that. So like some people like know what they need to do, or like know what needs to be done, but they're not in a position. But it's really special when you can do that, and you're allowed to do that because you're a PA or everything. So it's really a special feeling, and I can't wait to get out there and actually do it and keep learning, because I really don't know anything yet, but I'm just excited for all of that.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for sharing your time and your knowledge. Yeah, thank you.
Course. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you for listening to the Student Alumni Council podcast. Join us back here next month, December 4th, for our last podcast of 2024, when we interview Rose Tyler and discuss career changes after school.